Good morning. This is Kate Olson from the Cass County Office of Iowa State University Extension and Outreach with your Extension Report on this Wednesday morning. We are now taking registrations for our 2021 Summer Day Camps presented in cooperation with the Cass County Conservation Board. We have three different camps coming up this summer, and they will be presented at numerous times across the county. First of all, youth in kindergarten through second grade are invited to learn about dinosaurs, become a paleontologist, make crafts, and play games at Dig Those Dinos Camp. This camp is a two-day camp. The camp will be held for 3 hours, two consecutive days. The camp will be held in Lewis on June 2nd and 3rd at Cold Springs Park, in Atlantic at Sunnyside Park on June 8th and 9th, and in Anita at Lake Anita State Park on June 21st and 22nd. Youth in 3rd through 5th grade are invited to explore all things water through crafts, games, and fun at our Water Wonder Camp. This is a one-day camp from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Campers are encouraged to bring a sack lunch. This will be happening June 4th in Lewis, June 11th in Atlantic, and June 18th in Anita. And finally, 6th through 8th graders are invited to our Outdoor Adventure Camp, where they will learn outdoor skills related to archery, wildlife, hiking, and Dutch oven cooking over a campfire. They will be making their own lunch over the campfire, so they do not need to bring a lunch. Busing is also available from the Cass County Community Center in Atlantic. This camp will be held at Cold Springs Park in Lewis on Thursday, July 8th from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. You can find all of those details and dates on the form on the Cass County Extension website, on the Cass County Conservation website, or on the Facebook pages for either of those organizations. There are also flyers going out through the schools in the next week or so. I encourage you to sign up. There are differing deadlines on those flyers depending on the date of the camp. Each of those camps is a $10 fee per camp, and you can bring that back to the Extension office, and we'd be happy to get you signed up for our 2021 Summer Day Camps. Also getting a lot of garden questions this time of year, raised bed gardening is very popular and is a great option for many home gardeners. Our gardening experts at ISU Extension answer some common questions about raised bed gardens in this week's Yard and Garden Q&A. There are definite advantages and disadvantages to growing vegetables in raised beds. They're a great option if you have wet, poorly drained areas, as it will help get those vegetables up out of that bad soil and into good soil. Properly prepared raised bed will increase drainage, promoting plant growth and increasing crop yields. Raised beds also dry out and warm up earlier in the spring, which allows for earlier planting. They're also more convenient if you have any mobility issues that makes repeatedly bending or kneeling on the hard ground difficult for planting, weeding, or harvesting. Raised beds do have a few minor disadvantages. They do dry out a little bit faster than level garden sites in dry years, such as we had last year, so they will have to be watered a little bit more frequently. Initial construction of the raised bed obviously will take a little bit more effort than just planting directly into the soil, and so you may have issues with costs. There may also be some issues with overwintering perennial crops in raised beds if the roots get too close to the side and are subject to frost. If you're looking to construct a raised bed, keep in mind they can be permanent or temporary structures. Temporary raised beds are shallow beds, usually about 6 inches high, constructed within an existing garden. After the garden is tilled in the spring, loose soil can be raked into those beds. Permanent beds are usually higher than 6 inches, have side supports, and are built in one place to last for many years. Walls should be usually constructed of decay-resistant wood, such as cedar or redwood. You can also construct with concrete, block, rock, or brick. You can also use treated wood, but you may need to line your bed with some sort of textile fabric, allowing water to drain, but keeping the soil from absorbing the chemicals used to treat the wood. A few guidelines to keep in mind while planning and constructing your raised beds. You do still want to select a good site. Vegetables require a lot of sunlight, so plant the beds where they will receive full sun, which is at least 6 to 8 hours of direct sun every day. If that's not possible, or you're closer to the 6 hours a day, make sure that it is morning sun rather than afternoon sun, as that's a little more gentle and tends not to dry out crops as quickly. Make sure when you're constructing the bed that you build it so you can reach everything in the bed without stepping into it. If it's placed against a building fence or wall, make it accessible from only one side. It should be only 1.5 to 2 feet wide, or approximately the length of your arm. Beds accessible on both sides can be 3 to 4 foot wide. You want to be able to reach your arm fully through the center of the bed. The length of the bed might be determined by space limitations and convenience. You may also want to make sure you have pathways between multiple beds and they're wide enough to accommodate garden equipment, such as a wheelbarrow or cart, which is about 3 foot wide. Once you go to add soil to your raised bed, make sure you're adding soil mixtures that are light and well-drained. You can prepare this by mixing topsoil, organic matter, and coarse sand. If you're bringing topsoil from another location off-site, make sure it's not infested with soil-borne plant pathogens or any contaminants from a construction site like lead or pesticides. When you're filling your bed, grade the soil so that it slopes slightly away from the center of the bed to the edge, so make sure the center of the soil is higher. Use mulch around plants in raised beds to conserve moisture and control weeds. Before filling a raised bed, remove any grass sod if possible and work up the existing soil with a rototiller or spade. Add a few inches of that soil and incorporate it into the existing soil. Continue to add and incorporate mix until the raised bed is filled. Incorporating the soil mix into the existing soil prevents the formation of layers in the bed and helps with drainage. If you have more questions, you can find a lot of publications on building, maintaining, and filling, and even planting in raised beds on our ISU Frequently Asked Questions site for gardeners, or in our ISU Extension online publication store, which is a store of free PDFs for download. For more information on upcoming events in Cass County, find us online or stop by the office, 805 West 10th Street in Atlantic, or call 712-243-1132. Till next time, I'm Kate Olson for Cass County Extension.